God's Word was written for all mankind, yet most people feel a bit intimidated by the enormity and the complexity of this ancient book. For that reason, Chuck Swindoll has delivered a series of messages designed to help us read and comprehend the Scriptures on our own. The 8-part series is called Searching the Scriptures, and in the final week of this study, Chuck will use what we've learned thus far and apply it to a parable Jesus told in Mark chapter 4. Just before we get started, we begin today's Insight for Living with prayer.
How grateful we are, our Father, for that sacred head, those hands and feet wounded for our transgressions, and that body bruised for our iniquities. How thankful we are that the chastisement for our peace fell upon Him, and through His stripes we are healed. We sit before you today as a body of worshipers, healed and full of gratitude for it. But there are those, not yet, who come today and watch these things occur, wondering what life must be like to be forgiven, cleansed, and healed. We pray they will not leave as they have come in, but they will, in this time, trust your Son as their Savior and Master. How grateful we are for the message we have to proclaim. And as we acknowledge all four kinds of soil represented in this very body today, we pray that you will enable each person here to find herself or himself in that soil and come to terms with that and respond appropriately. In His name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Tasting a Sample, Learning Where We Fit in the Story.
We come to the story and we want to observe and interpret and correlate and apply, just as we're learning to do in our method of Bible study together. I wanted you to have a couple of examples of our doing this. So right here before us is our place to work. You would open your Bible to Mark chapter 4, and you'd begin to read it. We observe the Scriptures by seeing what the Scriptures say. So we read, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore, so you know exactly where he is, by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered, so he got into a boat, and he sat down one among them in the boat, and we read, while the people remained on the shore, he taught them. Now, how did he do that? Read for yourself. By telling many stories in the form of parables. A parable is always an earthy story. It's told to communicate a spiritual message. So something that is familiar to the hearer or the reader is placed before us so that we might understand a spiritual truth that is not familiar. When you illustrate something, you illustrate it based on the familiar so that the unfamiliar can become known. Now, in this parable, farming is the foundation of the story. So we're going to listen carefully. A farmer went out to plant some seed. Stop. I just stop right there. It's an unfamiliar scene to most people in this gathering today. Most of you have never farmed. I have never farmed. I don't know that I've ever seen a farmer plant seed. And at this age, you would think I have, but it's an unfamiliar scene to me. I certainly haven't seen how they planted seed back in the first century. They're reaching their hand in a bag and they're scattering. They're broadcasting the seed all around, reaching here. They're throwing seed here and there as they walk along the soil of their farm. Very familiar to first century people. So get this. He's placing something familiar in their minds so they will learn something unfamiliar. Got it? I love the way Warren Wiersbe describes the parable. Parables start off like pictures and then become mirrors and then become windows. First, there is sight as we see a slice of life in the picture. Then there is insight as we see ourselves in the mirror. And then there's vision as we look through the window of revelation and see the Lord. Isn't that great? That kind of story deserves my attention. I want to first see the picture, and I picture it in my mind from the words on the page. Then I want to turn the picture on the other side and see the mirror. I see myself in the mirror in light of the picture and what it says. Then from that, it turns into a framed window through which I see the Lord at work. We're going to do all three today without ever referring again to Wiersbe's quote, which is just excellent. However, 10 times in this chapter, I've counted them, we are told to hear, we're told to listen, we're told to pay attention, to pay close attention. We are told to understand. So, while we ask you not to overanalyze, I do urge you to listen carefully. Why do I do that? Because that's Jesus' opening command in verse 3. We would say, listen up. Listen up, everybody. Pay attention. You'll never get the spiritual lesson if you don't pay attention to what he's saying. So allow me to read the story. A farmer went out to plant some seed. Now make your observations as I read through it. If you had a notepad, you could write them down. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Picture it in your mind. Picture an ancient farmer as he's sowing the seed, reaching his hand in a bag and casting the seed, broadcasting it around. And the birds are smart enough to know some of the seed is right now on the ground. It's time to eat. And they are fluttering and they're cackling and screaming as the birds can do as they realize all the seed is going on the ground. And the birds come and they begin to eat it. Very familiar scene to farmers. Maybe Jesus pointed over to the other hill beside that one there at the Sea of Galilee. And he said, that farmer, right now he is sowing seed. And they could look and they could see that. So it may have been a living example. We don't know. But it's a familiar scene. And so he's scattering the seeds. The birds come and they eat it up. Now there's a second part of it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. So there's a shelf of dirt, little bit of soil, and underneath it is a solid rock. I saw where they're digging over here, not far away, and I saw a huge pile of rock. You know why? Because the soil in that area is filled with rocks. And as you dig into that area, it's tough digging because it is rocky soil. I thought of this. And they had that in the days of the Lord Jesus. Some of the farmers that cast their seed had some of the seed fall on rocky soil, soil with rock beneath it. There's a reason he says it. We'll get to that in a moment. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. Keep reading. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since, very important to note, it didn't have roots. It died. The Greek says it didn't have roots. But your Bible, it may be the New American Standard Version, will say it had no roots. So the seed fell, and even before it could germinate and take root, it dies because it doesn't have roots. It lies in the soil that's very shallow, and it doesn't last because of the heat that burns on it, and it's in that area that is really a desert without the addition of water. It dies out. There's a third part of the story. Keep reading. Keep observing. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Now, let me get real practical. If I were studying this, as I have this week, I would have a piece of paper just like this. I do my work with pen and paper, and some do it on a computer. You may prefer that. And I would make a list. Number one, shallow soil. And I would describe the soil. Number two, I would put rocky soil. Number three, I would put the thorny soil. Number four, the good soil, fertile soil. And I would make my observations right on that piece of paper. It isn't rocket science, folks. You can do that. You can do that kind of work. And believe me, when you do that kind of work, you do more than most Christians do in their lifetime. Most people do not ever pull out a pen with a pad and sit down with their Bible open and write their thoughts down. But students of the Scriptures who want to stabilize their life take the Word of God that seriously. And this is just that logical, that organized. Soil one, soil two, soil three, soil four. So the third soil is what? Thorny soil. And it grew up and choked out the tender plants. They produced no grain. So it's got plants that grow, but there's no production. There's no fruit that follows. Why? Well, because the thorns are there, and they choke out the tender plants, exactly what you read from what Jesus said. Now look at verse 8. Here's a fourth kind of soil. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil. On my piece of paper, I write fertile soil. And I write verse 8, and I see that the fertile soil causes the seed to fall into it. The seed takes root, germinates, sprouts and grows and produces a crop, some of them 30-fold, some 60, and some even 100 times as much as had been planted. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Okay, all of you have been good to listen. You've heard the words that were spoken. Jesus taught them. In my Bible, they're in red. So these are the words of Jesus. But what do they mean? Now we move to interpretation. And the good news is you don't have to listen to me interpret it. We'll hear the one who told the story interpret it. Our Lord found any number of truths in the common things of life, all of which are designed to lead us to God, if we will only see them and read them in the pictures he paints, which become mirrors and reveal himself to us through the windows. All of this is here, and if you're not careful, you'll race on to the next chapter. The Bible doesn't yield its fruit to the hurried or the lazy mind. You have to think. You have to concentrate. That's why he says, pay attention. Listen. There's truth here for you. So, verse 10. When Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples, read something interesting here. The 12 disciples and with the others who were gathered around, they ask him what the parable means. Understand the soil, understand farmer, I've seen that all through my growing up years in this agricultural area. But I don't know what you're getting at. What's with the soil and the seed? Verse 13. Now all the guesswork is taken out of it. If you were on your own at home doing this study, it would be more difficult than this. But this is a good one to turn to because the passage itself answers it for us. Watch closely. Jesus said to them, verse 13, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? Great question. In other words, there is a pattern here that is like all the other parables. This analogy, this similitude that you will find in the story, just as you see it here, you will see it in all the parables that I will tell you. You want to look for those things that are represented in the obvious, the familiar. I'll give you a warning now before we go any further, because it will be your tendency, especially those of us who are detail-minded, be careful about trying to make every pick and part of the story significant. Let some of it go. Focus on the essential, but don't try to make it walk on all fours. If you do, you'll have paralysis of analysis. You'll get lost in the detail and you'll miss the fact you're looking for the main lesson. Jesus was a master teacher. He doesn't have them open their Bibles because they don't have a Bible. He doesn't say unroll the scroll because they don't have scrolls. They're sitting there hearing him, many of them for the first time, and suddenly they're interested because of a story that connects with the familiar world in which they live. Communication at its best. So Jesus says, in effect, let me help you. He doesn't shame them by saying, well, maybe you'll never learn. He says, now listen carefully and I'll unpack the story. And let's let him do that. Verse 14. The farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. Stop right there. He's mentioned the seed several times, where he's done the seed here and he's thrown the seed there. The seed doesn't change. The seed is the same on thorny soil as it is on the hard path, as it is on fertile soil. The seed, what is the seed? Look closely. The seed is God's word. You see it? It's like finding that arrow in FedEx. Some of you are still looking for that arrow. Had a couple say to me today, there is no arrow in FedEx. They'll see one day and they'll go, whoa, he wasn't lying. There is an arrow there. Person told me you can see Amazon from A to Z.com. And there's a little sweep underneath that takes you from A to Z in Amazon. I'd never seen that before. So, something to learn every day. Something to learn about seed. Not rocket science. It's God's word. So, before we go any further, when you share Christ with someone else, you're planting seed. When I stand and preach, I'm planting seed. When a good teacher stands in front of a class, she shares the word of God and she is planting seed. The one you attend, the class you attend, he may stand and deliver the word of God. He is planting seed. The seed is the same all the way through. It is the word of God. And will you please remember that good teachers stay with the seed. They stay with the seed. Don't change the seed. Don't look for another brand. The seed is the Bible. The word of God. I love the way Walt Kaiser refers to this. This word focus in the pulpit is the defining mark of all true exposition. Those who preach and teach the word are to be so deeply rooted and grounded in the scriptures that they never depart from them, ever directing themselves as well as their listeners to its truths. Biblical preaching should be just that, biblical. He goes on, but this biblical prescription is an unknown remedy for many preachers today. In their zeal to lead popular and successful ministries, many are becoming less concerned with pointing to the biblical text. Their use of the Bible is much like the singing of the national anthem before a ball game. By the way, that's an analogy. Everybody's been at a ball game where they sung the national anthem. Now stay with this thought. It is merely something to be heard at the beginning but never referenced again, a necessary preliminary that almost becomes an awkward intrusion to the real event. In their attempt to be contemporary and relevant, many pastors talk about the scriptures, but sadly, they rarely speak from the scriptures. You are hearing exposition when your face is regularly turned toward the scriptures, when you find yourself lost without a Bible, as the preacher or the teacher is declaring the truth. The seed is being sown, but you're missing it because you don't have a copy of the seed in front of you. That's why I say to you, when you come, one thing you need to bring always is a copy of the Word of God. Because when we sow the seed, we are sowing the Word of God. So that's what the seed means. Okay, read on. The seed that fell on the footpath represents. So now we have the soil. And there are four different kinds of soil. You know what the soil represents? The condition of your heart, your inner being. All four of these kinds of soil are represented right here in our gathering today. All four. Some of you have hard soil. I'll explain it in a moment. Some of you have rocky soil, your condition within. Some of you have thorny soil. I'll explain that. Jesus actually does the explaining. And some of you have fertile soil. So let's look at all four as we see the unfolding. He describes the meaning of this story. So we get to the hard path, the footpath. Look at what it represents. Read it for yourself. Verse 15. Those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. Now, you're remembering the story where the farmer is sowing the seed and it's on hard soil. Remember what came and took the seed away in that original story? Got it, the birds. In this case, the birds of the story represent Satan. Jesus is interpreting the parable. But as he told the story, he doesn't say the devil comes and takes the seed. He gives them an analogy they can understand. They've all seen birds fluttering around the back of a farmer as he's walking along sowing seed because they've got a chance for a nice meal as they pick up all the seed that lays on the hard soil. Now he says this represents those with hard soil, hard hearts. These would be people caught in the frenetic traffic of life. Sports, media stuff, hands-on iPods, iPads, television, phones, flights to catch. Life is little more than a sports page and a beer and a People magazine or an appointment at the beauty parlor or a restaurant or the movies or hauling the kids here or there. Your heart's hard.
You're listening to Insight for Living, and we're in the final stretch of Chuck Swindoll's classic series, concluding this Friday, called Searching the Scriptures. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Chuck is using this parable in Mark chapter 4 to illustrate his process of searching the Scriptures and to show you how to study the Bible on your own. Keep in mind that he's also written a book on this topic, and you can purchase a copy right now by going to insight.org/store. Like the current series, Chuck's book is also titled Searching the Scriptures. As an added tool for learning more, remember that we provide Chuck study notes for searching the Scriptures on your own. Feel free to download the notes, print them out, and even pass them along to your Bible study group. You'll find all the details at insightworld.org/studies. And then let me add a word of thanks to our new monthly companions and all those who've supported Insight for Living Ministries. You're likely aware of the challenging summer season and the financial barriers that have stood in our way. We're deeply grateful to all those who responded generously, and also for the many people who decided to give monthly. In doing so, Chuck says you've become a, quote, fragrance of God's grace, allowing men and women all around the world to experience His authentic love. It's never too late to become a monthly companion. In fact, your consistent partnership will help immensely in the future. Choose the amount that's right for you every month, and then give one of our friendly ministry representatives a call. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or go to insight.org/monthly companion. Join us again Tuesday when Chuck Swindoll continues his series called Searching the Scriptures on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Tasting a Sample, Learning Where We Fit in the Story, was copyrighted in 2014, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2016 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.